Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another episode of Bomb Podcast, aka Black Opinions Matter, motherfucker. I'm your host today, Black Trey, always joined by John Gervais. And where in the world is Amina Hassan? I don't know, but on the ones and twos, we have Rob Lopez. Today in the show, we're going to talk about the usual suspects: Power, Lovecraft Country, possibly a little woke. I don't know. Depends how we feel. We're also going to talk about the 20-year anniversary of Shine's debut album and how come people are just now finding out about Eddie Murphy's party all the time. What's going on, Jerf?
Not a thing, good brother. You know, I'm out here just living this dream, man. My boys is 0-2-1, so other than that, life is dandy.
So you on that good life, man. I don't even want to talk about football this week, how we got worked out. You know what I'm saying? That last decision. We shouldn't have been in the game anyway, but, you know, we don't talk sports on this podcast, so I'm going to let myself live. I'm 3-0 in that fantasy life, though, so, you know.
Shout out to you.
Hey, so this week, I was on your head on Instagram, bro. Please share this with the people, bro. I was crying laughing, bro. You had Haven. Bro, you had a dad moment. Can you please share what happened?
So I took my daughter to what would ideally be her cousin. You know, y'all know how it is. You know, you got the homie that you've known for 20 years or whatever. So he's your brother, you know, whatever. So his son just turned 2. He's a couple months older than Haven. had a birthday party. So I took Haven through the crib. You know, his nephew was in the building also. He can't walk. And so Haven, this was her first time meeting him, and Haven walked over to him. She was showing him love. She was getting a little frustrated because he wasn't getting up to walk. She was trying to tell him to walk. And then the two of them locked eyes, and they was about to kiss. And forgive me, I snapped. I lost it because I said, no, 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 we not doing that. You got to chill. You got to relax. Which y'all don't see on the video when I posted to my gram is I edited it out because young boy started crying and I felt bad.
So
like I felt super bad, bro.
I see the video and I'm just dying laughing because I just like normally people just let that innocence slide. Like it's just, you know, they just trying to like get the feel of another body for one. The baby's having experimental like stuff. And then they don't look at it. They just kiss everything. You know what I mean? Whether it's a hand, like an arm, whatever. They can be leaning on you. And she was head on with this little boy. And Jerv moved so fast and said, hey, 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 we not doing that. And scared the shit out of this little boy.
I mean, yo, it's my bad, though, bro, because it's my fault. I give my daughter a kiss. And I got to take myself out of the trash, you know, how society or whatever has made you just think everything is this, that, and the third. And understand that my daughter just knows that is how she greets people, right? Because whenever I see her, whenever her mom sees her, whenever her sister, her grandparents, they give her a kiss. And we always, you know, it just ends up being like, you know, kiss on the lips, whatever the case may be. And it's like, oh, I love you. So for her, she's just like, oh, I'm just doing what everybody tells me to do. I'm telling the young boy what's up. But nah, dog, dad, I had a dad moment. We not kissing. You know what I'm saying? Your first kiss ain't going to come at one, not before you 1.5. Like, we not doing that, bro.
You're,
like,
nah. You're a sicko. You're going to be so stressed the fuck out. You're going to stress your beard out.
Bruh, listen, I already got the grays popping in the beard. It's just a matter of time. I'm not ready. I'm not 100% not ready. I'm not ready for any type of... I thought I was going to be cool, but at barely 1.5, I realized, yo, I'm not cool with it. Like, I talked all that shit there about, you know, I'm just going to have the conversation. It's going to be all love. You know, this, that, and the third. And then I got faced with reality, and I was like, nah, not today.
Man. You're in for a ride, man. Godspeed for that one, bro. All right, man. So let's just start one of our topics, man. Shine's debut album, Shine, self-entitled, came out 20 years ago this past weekend. And I remember when this album first came out, Bad Boys with Barrington Levy, right? When that shit came out, I don't know what Barrington Levy was saying, but that shit was fire. Whoa. Sweet. That shit was one of the hardest songs. And then, you know, obviously, bling, bling. It's a Bad Boys thing. Man, like, this album was supposed to be Bad Boys' next thing going into the 2G. What were you doing when this came out, Jer?
So I was going into college. No, I was a sophomore in college or freshman, depending on whenever. I was ending my freshman year in college, and I had a weird love hate relationship for Sean early on.
Why?
Because for those that remember, even though it was a little while, it wasn't too long after Big had passed. So when Sean hit the scene, all everybody talked about was how his voice was very similar to B.I.'s. So it took me a while to be able to appreciate that Sean actually had bars, that Sean was actually nice, because all I heard was Big's voice at first. But then as you listen to him more, you realize it's really not that similar.
It was not right? that close.
No, but it's kind of like one of the things where you say somebody look like, damn, that look like such and such. And then they get closer to you, and you like, nah, that don't look nothing like Bull, right? But I definitely fooled with Sean, right? Like, I thought Sean was dope. I got to a point where I was checking for Sean. You know what I mean? You know, oh, such and such featuring Sean. Oh, that's a dope. Let me check that song out, whatever. I banged with this album. I don't think it's a classic or anything like that, but I thought it was a solid production. It was a good debut album. He, like you said, Bad Boys was the shit. that Bonnie and Sean joint was, you know, whatever. But I mean, you know, Sean did his thing on this thing, man. Is this technically a Bad Boy album?
This is a Bad Boys album. He debuted in 99, went to jail like 10 months later for the shooting in the club. He got 10 years for it. Yep. This is the infamous Rhinestone J-Lo Puffy run out.
So his second album came out when he was in jail?
Yep.
Under
Bad Boy either. So.
No, it shouldn't be. Did he ever get his publishing back?
I don't think so. But the second album was called, it came out 4 years later, called Godfather Buried Alive. But let's focus on Sean. So we had Bad Boys off that album. We had That's Gangsta. And we also had Bonnie and Sean. And Barrington Levy and Sean made a good pair. You know, the two songs that they were, you know, that Barrington was on, both were singles for him. And I don't know if it was just riding off the high of Belly or, you know, that reggae rap collab probably was hot in the streets at the time. I was 16, 17 years old. So I wasn't yet to, you know, able to drink and do all the cool shit. But like New York's rap scene was very heavy and influential on both coasts at the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, this, like I said, it's a solid album. I forgot about That's Gangsta. That was a dope ass song too. You know, solid debut album. It wasn't one that made you say, you know, I'm cool on dude or anything like that. It was definitely, you know, it was worth a listen. I can't tell you the last time I've listened to it, but usually when we do these type of things, I end up listening to something again like the next day, and I'm like, oh damn, that, you know, I mean, that such and such album, that joint was actually kind of all right. So I look forward to giving this joint a spin again, because I do want to relive some of these moments, man, because like you said, Barrington Levy, I called him Levy for like years, but Barrington Levy, they had a good connection, man. And it's I want to say that this was Barrington was hot at this time too, right?
Yeah.
Like I think everybody was trying to do something with him. I would have liked to have seen, you know, like you said, Sean went to jail not too long after. I would have liked to have seen the wave, like the, you know, see what they could have done. This is before everybody was doing the collabs and all them type joints, because the type of connection they had, I feel like if this was a modern day album or if it was done during like this era, they would definitely have like their collab album or something like that.
If he's free, he gets access to artists like DMX, that's on top, Ja Rule, Jay-Z, Cash Money, the Rough Rider cats. Like, he didn't even get to experience those type of collaborations, you know? I think the second thing outside of his album, going into it, he was featured on Usher's Confessions remix, and he's, like, rapping over, you know, the
he killed that,
and he
too.
Actually did a good job on that. So, yeah, man. I mean, it's always, you know, he's a free man now, but he can't come back to the United States. I think he's in Belize. But overall, he never recovered from that. And I think he's at peace. He doesn't want to rap anymore. Actually, Loon's home. It's just kind of crazy, the whole Bad Boy thing and how it panned out.
I just seen something with I chuckle every time I see a picture with Diddy and one of the alleged artists that we've heard that he's allegedly done wrong or whatever the case may be, man. So when I saw the who'd you just say, Loon?
Yeah.
When I saw the pictures of him and Loon, I was like, all right, you know what I mean? That's dope. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope he gave him his publishing. Like, that's all I ever be wanting when Puff pop up on the scene with somebody. Yeah. I'm like, yo, just give Main Man his publishing back, bro. Like, they ain't really did too much. Let Sean eat off of Bad Boys when they played on the radio and all that type stuff, man. Like, you don't need that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. We got Pat. And Pat is Party All the Time. Came out in 1985, and this is a song by comedian and actor Eddie Murphy, for those who do not know what Party All the Time is. Yes, Eddie Murphy had a single that was written and produced by Rick James, and if you get a chance, watch the video. It is one of the coolest shits ever. He just pulls up to the studio, and like Rick James is just like shocked that Eddie is just getting it off in the booth. Like, I discovered this song roughly like 8 years ago. Like, I didn't even know it even existed, bro. I stumbled upon it like accident, and then I just was just kind of like jamming to it. But seeing the video, I lost it. And now, the reason why I'm bringing it up now is that 35 years later, Twitter, Generation Z, is just now finding out about this. So what do you think about that?
So, you know, when it's weird, because I guess me personally, I'm just like a couple years older than you, but I feel like I look older than you. So I get the old head treatment a lot more than you get the old head treatment. So for me, I find it hilarious when Gen Z? Mm-hmm. When it's Gen Z, repopulate something that that we grew up on, whether it be hairstyles, like, you know what I'm saying, when everybody was getting boxes and all them type joints again. And then, you know, when you see these type tracks pop up, and then it's like, you know, they like it. It's funny because my parents would say the same thing to me when I was a young boy. Like, you know, anything that we did, whether it be fashion, music, whatever, was, oh, well, such and such did this, or such and such is sampling, oh, that's an Ozzy Brothers song he's sampling,
right,
or you know, whatever. So it honestly makes me laugh, because it just makes me realize that, like, I'm old, right? Like, mm-hmm. I'm entering that phase of my life where I am a parent, and, you know, there's going to be, fast forward 8-10 years from now, when Haven's listening to whatever music she likes, like, somebody's going to sample, I don't know, they're going to sample a Timbaland track. And Khaled does that now.
I mean, Pop Smoke did. Cheers to you, yeah. My player.
Yeah. Like, we're at that age. So it's funny seeing this. It's funny seeing it pop up. I'll say that I found it cool that it made me listen to it again. It low-key slaps. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a lot better than that other song he did with Michael Jackson years later.
Okay. What you talking about?
But you know what, man? It also made, watching the video, makes me think of the Chappelle Show. Like, that shit, yeah. It looks like the Chappelle
skit. No, it definitely
skit.
Like, looks like a skit, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like, it looks like a lot of illegal things might have been on that set at that point in time in life.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It was definitely Rick James parties in there going on. If you don't know about that, it's a lot of skiing, allegedly. but yeah, man, I think it just kind of goes hand in hand, like you said, with just like us even discovering when we were younger, the originals. I remember hearing I Can't Stand the Rain, the original, for the first time, and then going back and hearing Missy shit, and I'm just like, wow. Like, or just anything, like when you think about it, I've made plenty of playlists where I've like really went back to the original. I was like, though, the original is way more fire than this rap shit on the top. So, I mean, it's been going on for the longest. I wouldn't want to hear anybody remake Party All the Time. But it's pretty cool that, you know, both generations are meeting. And I think that's the same thing with sequels of movies. You know, we got Bill and Ted potentially coming to America too. We got, like, you know, just like sequels that deserve to be reunited with the groups. I mean, I would have loved to see another Friday just off the rip if the original cast would have came back. You know, John Witherspoon, you know, end up passing. But, yeah, you know, it just needs to happen. So I'm glad that they're getting hip. It's kind of similar to those little boys finding out about Phil Collins, Feel It in the Air. Or I Can Feel It. Whatever the name's actually the title of it, but yeah.
You said you wouldn't want to see anybody redo it. I probably wouldn't, but I could see like Aubrey or somebody doing some shit, or like a Chris Brown. and that shit just being a slap, bro. One thing I've learned about music, good music stands the test of time. So if good music came out in 70, you can play that same song in 2020, and it's still going to slap, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want anyone to remake the song, because I would like for people to just be original and you know, do their own thing. But I don't think it would be the end of the world, and quite honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody remade this genre. It just can't be certain people. Like, I don't want to see dude with the red hat make this shit, because I want to be able to enjoy the song.
Yeah. Nah, he won't touch it. I don't think he'll touch it at all. He's not focused on that. He's too busy wearing whack-ass Jordans outside of his Adidas contract. So, yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time on that guy.
Nah, we good.
You know, all board seats matter. All right, let's...
All board seats matter.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/bomb and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/bomb today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/BOM, getroman.com/bomb.
Let's get into why we here, the things that we have to talk about so we don't get fined. What do you want to talk about, Lovecraft, or you want to talk about Power first?
Depends. You want to start off good or bad?
I don't see too much good on this, but go for it.
We can do Lovecraft first, because that's some... Yo, she's pregnant, dog.
Hey, man. She's having visions. So let's talk about Lovecraft, right? We find out that, you know, Letty is having these visions, and everyone still has, everyone's having the same dream. So Atticus has had the dream. Letty's had the dream, the same fiery hallway, you know, and they're just, each one has a different result. They both engulf in flames, you know, but they're stopped by their ancestor at the door. And she's telling them something, but like they haven't caught on yet until this episode. So the lady wakes up, she's grabbing her belly because she's set on fire. She notices that her stomach is big. And yeah, she dies in the dream and wakes up and is just kind of very calm, but tells Atticus. And Atticus points out that it's the Book of Names. Now, of course, every week we're always like, what the fuck is going on in this show? If you have not noticed a pattern, each episode has represented a different chapter in this quote unquote book of Lovecraft Country. While they're figuring out that they have to get their hands on the Book of Names, Letty's sister is it Rudy? I think that's her name. Anyways,
oh, my bad. Nah. Ruth.
Ruth. Ruth. Okay, Ruth.
Yeah.
So.
I had my shit on mute.
Nah, it's all good. I thought I was tripping. So Ruth, you know, finds out that her quote unquote lover is actually the chick. And now she's been told the truth and is now in on whatever the main goal is, whether it's to get the truth out of Letty or find out where this piece is, because she's kind of eavesdropping on Letty when she's on the phone calling Tick, who goes to St. Louis to find out some information about his ancestor. But before that, his uncle's wife, which is his aunt, takes the car to go find out the truth that what happened to her husband, but discovers something else, right? And with that discovery, she goes and she finds out this whole, it looks like a time traveling machine or something like that. I have no clue, but she finds out how to work it. And when she gets there, somehow Tick finds her. Like, he just has the coordinates to find her. But
come on.
Yeah, it's just a lot going on in this space. So we're there and yeah, like two white cops show up and they're trying to show it off to each other, I guess, or one of the cops is trying to show it off, and Tick is Batman in this particular case, handing out pals and knocking guys out and you know, and eventually activates the machine, throws one guy into another dimension, but then also I can't even, what was she calling herself? I am.
Which she was called.
It's her name.
I forget.
But Atticus calls her something else. But she discovered herself through this time travel, which was really weird. She ended up in some space room with a robot or alien that had an afro, that was trying to get her to self-learn or figure it out. She was repeated. It reminded me of a Black Mirror episode. But it also was like she was tested in these situations by, I don't know if it's an alien specimen or whatever it was. And they said, who are you or where would you want to be right now? She said she wanted to dance with Josephine Baker in Paris. And she warped there.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, she picked it up and she became the head woman in charge over there, kind of secondhand to Josephine. And then she warps to a whole nother world where she's an African warrior princess, or, you know, I don't even know how to define that, because she actually tells Josephine Baker that she wants to kill white men. And, you know, she gets her chance, you know, but then also she becomes, like, after becoming a warrior and learning how to fight, she's at peace. So after that, she finds herself in space, and then she has to make the choice of, does she want to live in this world or does she want to go back to the normal world? Now, she hasn't returned after she says she needs to go home to her baby girl. But, you know, we get back to the point of, you know, Tick coming back and Tick leaving a clue that may kind of go into the next episode, which was from that. He didn't leave the clue, but the auntie did. It was the drawing from their daughter, which had her autograph, her signature on it, you know. So that may lead to the cops kind of harassing her. But Tick pretty much got out of there, you know. But yeah, what was your overall thoughts on this episode?
I thought it was up to par with everything that I've thought about this show, probably since episode one or two. I thought it was super weird. I have an issue with any type of show where people just show up to save the day. Like, I hate that shit. Like, I get it. That's what we got to do. I think it's lazy, but I thought it was hilarious how this place where, you know, well, we're seven episodes in with this one, we have yet to see the location where she went that had the time travel. But what's his name? Tick. Mm-hmm. Tick, and old girl, the one that's pregnant. It was like when they were talking, they off top know where she's at, right? They're like, you think she found, she's about to get herself into something that she doesn't even know she's into. Well, how do y'all know? Y'all haven't been to this location either, mm-hmm. right? So that was a beef. The cops annoyed the hell out of me. Cause it's like, yo, y'all got guns. Like, why y'all letting dude come in and, like, to use your word, why y'all let him be Batman, right? Like, he's out here doing pow, kick, this, and y'all got guns. Like, it should just be bang. Yeah. And it's over with. Especially during that era. Like, I'm not trying to make light of what it is, because it's a very, you know, real thing, and it's something that still impacts our people to this day. But, like, it was real ruthless back then with no cameras and shit. So I'm just wondering why they chose to fight, you know. And then I wanted them to do a little bit more. What's Omar's name? His pop.
Montrose.
Yeah. I wanted them to do a little bit more. I felt like they rushed that interaction when his son finds out that he's gay. And clearly this is something that was major in his life, because, you know, to use his words, he was always beating him because he didn't want him to be soft and this, that, and the third. And I felt like, yo, you know what? When that was happening, I was like, yo, this might be a dope episode. They can tap into something that's a hot topic. Maybe shed some light on it to ease people's or to change people's perspectives or whatever the case may be. And they just kind of brushed past it and just went straight sci-fi on me. And I was, you know, it started off okay to me, because I was like, oh, all right, bet, you know, hey, here we go. This is something that's modern day. We can tap in on this, and then they can, you know, put a spin on it to show that people should respect, you know, how other people feel. And, you know, he can have a come to, for lack of a better phrase, a come to Jesus moment and be like, you know, apologize to his son for how he treated him. And it's just like, nah, we just like, nah, fuck that.
Dude, yeah, they breeze by it. I don't even know if Letty actually told the truth. I think she was trying to breeze by it because she knew how Tick felt. But it was a teachable moment. You know, I think it was mixed reviews from it because, you know, obviously in a different climate, you know, this is supposed to be based in the 40s and 50s. Tick uses a slur and it offends his father. And obviously, you know, he finds out, you know, because in the early episodes, the guy that they gave a ride to the museum, or when they went to that museum, he said, you know, that his dad and the other dude was getting close, but he didn't know how to take it. You know, he was just kind of curious about it. Like, he didn't know. He was just brushing it off because he's like, no way, man. You know, like, my dad was with my mom. So when he actually caught, you know, Montrose and his lover walking out, like trying to stop him from leaving, he was holding his hand. He didn't embarrassingly let his hand go. He was kind of more comfortable with who he was, but his son was just in awe that he had witnessed that. And, you know, with Atticus reacting the way he did, he called him out his name, and then he asked him, did his mother know? And he said, yes. And then he storms out, and obviously he has this moment where he has to, like, regroup, and Letty's there, and Letty's, like, trying to comfort him and console. But the teachable moment was, like, instead of the father just being honest and accepting who he was, he took his frustration and anger out on his son by beating him, saying, you can't be soft and you can't be this way. You know what I mean? And here he is, and not associating, you know, that being associating, you know, his sexuality with being soft. It just was more so like it could have been handled differently. But in that climate, I'm pretty sure he had to hide in order so that he wouldn't be killed or murdered or, you know, live a double life. And I'm pretty sure he was struggling with that as well, for Montrose to accept that, like that he no longer loved Atticus' mom anymore, you know. And it still hasn't said anything about her cause of death. You know, maybe she took her life. You never know. You know what I mean? Through all the pressures of all that scenario. But good acting, you know, overall. But, it, you know, typically it's just kind of all over the place. You know, you kind of have to really see the Easter eggs. And, you know, it bounced from place to place. Like even Montrose, I mean, Atticus discovering the same mark he had on his body that his family member had.
The same major
We really didn't tap into it, you know what I mean? So hopefully we get some more answers moving on. We got 3 more episodes to go. Thank God for Jerv, so Jerv can be done with this show. But I'm still in. I'm still in, and I'm hopeful. I'm just trying to get an overall feedback from it. I don't know if I would rewatch this with somebody else, but I do respect the cinematography and how it's shot and, you know, how well the actors are playing in this role.
You know, I mean, they do a lot of breezing by things because, what was it? Episode, whenever his uncle died and his pop and his uncle have that conversation, which makes you believe that he's actually his uncle's son and not really his pop's son. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that was episode 3 and we're episode 7 and they have yet to revisit that. So, even though I have terrible reviews, and it's not my cup of tea, but I would like for them to at least reward me personally for sticking this thing out and just put, you know, I mean, putting a button on a couple things, man. Like, you know, let me know if he really is his uncle's son. You know what I mean? Like, let me know that, you know, dive a little deeper into his childhood since we were revisiting everything else. We went, what was that? Not Nam. Was that Nam? Oh no, that was Korea. We went to Korea. we did this, we did that. So, you know, I feel like they owe us an episode on him as a kid now, so that he can kind of put a button on whatever it was that happened to him as a kid. But if anything shows me on these first 7 episodes, they're not going to do that, and I'm just going to be frustrated.
Do you want to go on a journey into darkness, into the mind of the worst sadistic sexual serial killer in Texas history? The new True Crime Reporter podcast reveals how a corrupt parole system released Kenneth Allen McDuff. Just one day after McDuff walked out of prison, women's bodies started turning up across Central Texas. Peabody Award-winning investigative reporter Robert Riggs, the host and creator of the True Crime Reporter podcast, reveals the inside story of the serial killer described as the devil himself. McDuff is the only convicted killer to ever receive 3 death sentences in Texas. The 30-year veteran journalist pulls out his reporter's notebooks, his law enforcement sources open up their case files. True Crime Reporter premieres 15-episode series Free to Kill on September 28th. It is a co-production with Podcast Ad Reps and is their first PAR original podcast. True Crime Reporter and Big Media TV are currently co-producing Free to Kill, a television series based on season 1 of the podcast for domestic and international distribution. Don't miss this blood-chilling series. Subscribe to True Crime Reporter on your favorite podcast app today.
Let's get to our favorite show, Ghost. We don't even call it Power no more. It's just Ghost. It's previously just Ghost, on Ghost. I like that, by the way. So we got my main man, Tyreek, man. Where do we start, man? This dude is one of the brightest dudes ever. How they got him going. Like, bro, he's like the MacGyver, bro, of college students. He can finesse anything. What did you see out there?
I think it was it Wise last week that said that he's not, like, he's growing on you now. And I got to admit, like, I don't really mind Tyreek anymore, bro. Like, I'm not necessarily rooting for dude, but I'm also not sitting here every episode hoping he gets killed like I was in Power, right? I thought this was a, believe it or not, I thought this was a very solid episode. you know, it definitely had its power moments, i.e. when Mary J. and her son are stepping to the homies, and he calls her, what do you call her?
Punta.
Punta. And, you know, she says, what did you call me? And he says it again. And then Main Man just hooks off on him. Like, all right, I get it. They the plug. They super duper connected. I get all that, right? Trust me. I don't know firsthand, but I know enough how the streets work, right? I know that when you the man and you plugged in and all that type of stuff, you can get away with a lot of shit that the common man can't get away with. But I'm sorry. Homie's locked up, right? You not, y'all head dude is just getting stomped out. He's just getting his door knocked off of him, right? And y'all just staying there all because she says, I wouldn't do that. It's like, hey, to y'all, dog, while she got the hammer pointed on him, point one on her.
Kane must be a beast.
He must be
a beast for them to stand down. They just let him beat his face into a pulp. But, yeah, Monet run these streets. I think Monet is going to get her hands full and get kind of killed off probably. No time soon, but eventually. So Tariq does a good job, has a system going, very smart, started up a tutor business, figured out how to sell weed, pills, uppers, downers, you know, and also, you know, find a system to even tutor people. And now is getting to a point where he's got a system, he got his boy working, got everybody else involved. Shit is going sweet. I don't trust his white homie. His homie seems like he can pillow talk and give up the wrong goods soon.
Oh, he's definitely ratting.
But we got the other brother going to supposed to be spying on Tariq. He goes and spies, but also finds a new love interest, which, I mean, did you see that coming?
I didn't see it coming until homie said whatever he said to him, and then the way he looked at him, I was like, all right, well, they about to get
they in. They about to be right? interested like, in each other, right?
Yeah.
It was just too...
By the way, there was a lot of getting it in this episode. Like, this was heavy on the sex scenes, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't technically have sex, but he got close. You know, he went and followed up and went to go see homie at his dorm room. But...
For sure.
Yeah, it started off with him losing track of what he was supposed to do. And I don't know if that's going to help in Monet's eyes because she's kind of soft on her son. She wants him to take over the business. The dad wants him to take over the business. But the dad probably has zero clue that, you know, his son doesn't want to do this. He's not a tough guy. He is a lover, literally. So,
by the way, he looks like he's super duper talented in the art.
Oh, listen, I'm pretty sure he abandoned all their kids except Kane. Kane is the one who really is about that life, and everybody else just wants to have a normal life, and mom is just like, nope, this is a family business, and she doesn't want anybody to leave the house. That's what she said, no matter, you know, when he was taking a shower, no matter what man it is, you always come home. You know?
So she technically already knew.
Yeah, once she seen the drawing, okay. She just, you know, she love him, you know what I mean? But like, she gonna keep it a secret. But to the point of, look, man, I still need you to do what you need to do. You feel me? Yeah. You know? So then we got the teacher. He's killing me right now. I really want this story to be killed off.
I hate dude, bro.
You know, Mark Lamont Hill face. I didn't give him that name, by the way. So if you let Mark know. No, it's just hilarious.
I forget who gave it. I forget who said that.
I think
shit.
It was Amin or Waz. I don't know, but
it probably was Waz. That sounds
long story
wild
short,
shit.
Man. His horny ass got to chill. He's just wilding.
He was about to He was about to smash the youngin.
Like, oh, for dinner?
Like,
she like, yeah, you know, my parents' house. He like, then.
But yo, bro, he was still low key with it when she said her parents.
Yeah, because he just thought he was going, you know, finesse.
Oh my god!
Yeah, hey, man. He's a wild dude. He ain't got no heat on him. And I'm still trying to fit where he belongs in all of this for Tyreek. You feel me? Because he ain't did nothing that involves, like, their little sexcapade, you know, the other, the counselor or whoever that's supposed to be sexually addicted to sex. And then you got this situation. It is not, like, it's not lined up. Like, it don't even belong in this. I don't get it. I'm trying to make, like, I'm waiting. Y'all said that Tyreek gonna get the buns. I don't see it. He got way too much on his plate. Like, now he, you know, he feeling like he a certified lover boy, and he got the two shorties, but he ain't even made a pass at the teacher. The teacher has been caping for him, but she ain't made a pass at him. You know what I mean? To that point, you know what I'm saying? But she just set herself up every time. She confronts dude locks the door and she gets horny. It's like, I don't get that part and why it's written in. Like, are they trying to sell soft porn? I don't know. Yeah, man. And I think how, you know how they always zoom in on Kane and he gives that like crazy ass look. I think he's on pace to turn on Monet or whoever it may be and or make a wild decision. Like, he's going to make one of those calls on his own. That's going to really put them in deep shit. You know what I'm saying? That's going to get the dad in trouble or somebody.
I could see him getting killed 100%. Right? Like exactly what you're saying. He does too much. Probably goes and makes a drop or something like that. And, you know, it's only so many times you get to talk greasy, dog. Like, yo, Mike Tyson got knocked out, bruh. If Mike Tyson can get knocked out, anybody can get knocked out. Anything can happen to anybody. So, I think he dies. I'm with you. I'm over the teacher dude. I'm all for anybody getting their rocks off, man. You know, I believe people should live and just enjoy life, man, whatever. But, man, I'm not for the creepers.
Yeah.
And homie's a certified creep, and I can't bang with him, and I can't bang with the counselor because she knows he's a creep, and somehow some way she's still getting turned on by boy, even though you just got on him for sleeping with his graduate assistant, and you know damn well he was about to try and sleep with that little girl. So, oh, but yo, shout out to her for having a whole situation. She reminds me of Nunu.
Oh, you talking about her family and everything? Well, I don't think she never fronted on like her upbringing.
No, I just meant more so she seems like the type that fucks with Tyreek because Tyreek is clearly
more her speed. Like, yeah, she's
right.
Yeah, because
and then the you know, no disrespect, but her boyfriend, he looked like he is square.
He's on paper who her parents want him to have to be with. So I'm pretty sure that was an arranged relationship.
So
she liked the bad boy type, the slick talk. But Tyreek also got the street smarts and the book smarts. He got a little bit. He all around. You feel me? But in that scenario, yeah, man, he got him some shorties, you know, and he also got the shit lined up. But it's definitely interesting. It's a lot of these storylines that can be killed off. Tasha on the phone killed me. I don't know how burner phones work in jail, but
she using that thing a little too freely, right? Like I feel like they use it a little bit more discreetly than she using it in jail.
Yeah, she was just she was real cozy like in there. You know what I mean? Like to a point where, you know, like she texting where the gun at. She talking real loud, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, I already know you're gonna get yourself killed, you know, and all this other stuff. Which is, hey man, I know it's TV and I'm not trying to like treat it like it's gonna be the best show ever, but come the fuck on, bro.
Bro, when they showed her doing the push-ups,
that gotta go too.
Get the fuck out of here, yo. Like nothing about Tasha says, yo, I just did a quick 50 burger.
Yeah, hot 20. She gotta get up out of here. I'm all set.
I guess it's because Ghost isn't alive, but I feel like Tasha should have protection. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like her husband was too connected.
He ain't had no connections though. He only had Tommy after a while.
Tommy.
Everybody else was dead,
Tommy
bro.
Gone. Tommy's going in. She ratted on Tommy.
So he out of there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, with all these hoops and hollers, like, it's a lot of shit that can be pulled from this shit and used on some real space. Tyreek is still always late. Like, that's going to be the funny part. You know, moving into the next episode, I do see, you know, they brought Tate in, but like, Tate was no help. He was just being a bitch ass nigga.
I'm cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, he never was a likable character anyway. Even Method Man's banging his assistant or whoever she is, whatever she serves to him. You know what I mean? And he's married. He got his ring on the side and shit. So it was like,
oh, that's not who he's married to?
That's why she was telling him, like, don't forget your ring. Your wife gonna get mad. And he came back and kissed her like, I'm sorry. And she's like, don't. But, you know, they got like a joint account together and everything. He living a whole separate life. So everybody dirty on this show. What's your predictions for next week?
Next week, I think that, This dude Sax is fucking annoying, and now he's got his niece in there. Clearly, his niece is going to catch Tyreek doing something. So I think next week, for as thorough as Tyreek has been, I think next week is the week that Tyreek fucks up somewhere. And whether it be Sax, he gets in issues and allows Sax to gain some leverage, or whether it be, you know, Mary Jane, all them, him doing too much with her. You know what I mean? But bottom line is, I think next week Tyreek messes up. I think he does end up starting to get his relationship on with Monet's daughter. Mm-hmm. I think that's who he actually, because I think next week is the week where she kind of falls for him. Mm-hmm. Also, like, falls for him. Because, I mean, it was clear as day. It was about to go down if boy don't knock on the door. I mean, it's a college dorm. They ain't there by themselves. You know what I mean? They kids. It's just that's just what happens. So I think next week we see Tyreek make a mistake, but we also see him get closer with Monet's family and everything like that. So yeah, Tyreek makes a mistake next week and sets up Sax or Monet and them to take advantage of him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen a little bit of the previews and stuff like that, and you know, Diana shows up to a party and Tyreek fronts on her with, other baby. And
which one's Diana? Diana's daughter. Diana's Monet's daughter.
Monet's daughter, yeah. But she's pretty much Monet's trying to tell her to play Tyreek, you know, or kind of get some more information out of him. Like, you got this boy in the palm of your hands, but Tyreek's actually smarter than that. You feel me? So, somebody gonna actually die this episode, next episode. Well, that looks like that's the end of the episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. Hopefully we find Amin and Waz next week. This has been another episode of Black Opinions Matter. For John Gervais, for Rob Lopez, for Amina Hassan, and Wozni Lambre, we'll talk to you guys next week.